Let's make a start. Nice to see everybody. Thank you for coming. And good morning to all those on Zoom. Let me start by once again thanking our kind sponsor for the year, that all the Shirim for 2021 are sponsored anonymously in the merit of an aliyah for the neshamas of Masasiyahu ben Yisrael, Aaron ben Menachem Lev, and Eliana Bas Yaakov. Thank you for that kind sponsorship. And just to let you know what we're doing today and next week. Today we are talking about, as we often do this time of year, a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issue, but one we've never talked about before in this series. And tomorrow, next week, please God, we're going to talk about Tisha B'Av itself, maybe looking at the issue of Nachem, which is a very interesting modern contemporary question as to how that works. After Tisha B'Av, I hope to be able to get into Shemitah, and we'll have no doubt what to talk about then. Okay, honoring parents. This time of year, we do two very interesting things. We reconnect through tshuva, in the sense of mending the problems that caused the Churban Beis HaMikdash, in terms of the Aveira Shaboy. But we do that, we connect our Bein Adam L'Makom through connecting Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, because there's a lot of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issues that also came up. Sinas Chinam, obviously, and we're not going to talk about all of those now. But the one mitzvah that combines, perhaps more than any other mitzvah, these two elements, which is Bein Adam L'Makom, it's between a person and God, and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, between horizontal, between people as well as vertical, is Kibud Av V'Em. As you well know, the five and five on the Luchos, the first five being Bein Adam L'Makom, believing in God and Shabbat, etc., and the second five being Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So Kibud Av V'Em is the link. It's the last of the first five. It's the last of the Bein Adam L'Makoms, and yet, clearly, it's an introduction to the Bein Adam L'Chaveiros as well. So let's have a look at some of these issues. Every single halacha, we're going to quote today about 20 different halachas from Shulchan Aruch, every one of them is a shir. How does it work, and what does it mean, and how does it apply? We can't do that. We can't have a 20-part series right now on Kibud Av V'Em, but let me flash them up to you like headlines so that you can go away and think about them, and we'll deal with one very specific, interesting chidush. The idea, which is really at the center of, for many young people for sure, is how do I know the line between doing what my parents want me to do and doing what I feel as a person I need to do, which is not the same as what they want me to do? Which no doubt you had experiences with your own parents and maybe with your own children. We'll see how that works. Let's start with a pasuk from Malachi. Malachi, at the end of days, he's the last Nevuah. These are the last two psukim in Nevuah in the whole of Nevi'im. We sign off at this point. The Nevuah finishes. And he says, number one, Hine anochi sholeach lachem et Eliyah ha-Navi, whether Eliyah is Eliyahu or whether he's a different Navi. Many of the Nevi'im and the kings and the officials at this time of the Jewish people had two names. They had the Yud-K name at the end and the Yahu name. Everyone had a Yahu account as well. So there was Shmariah, Shmariyahu, Yishayah, Yishayahu, Yirmiyah, Yirmiyahu. So Eliyah, Eliyahu, maybe it's the same person, Eliyah, Navi. Lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-Gadol ha-Nora, before the great day of God comes, that final day where there will be the tikkun of the world towards Mashiach Beis HaMikdash, what's the job of Eliyahu? V'heishiv leiv avos al-banim v'leiv banim al-avosan. He returns the hearts, the minds of the fathers back to the children to the fathers. Because if that doesn't happen, because God forbid, the world would be destroyed without that. What does it mean, returning the hearts of the parents to the children? What are we davening for? This idea of the tikkun will be this reconnection. I thought you three pshats in here, which I thought all reflect different attitudes. Number two is a posh pshat from the Radak. He says, the people will come together. What does it mean? V'heishilev avasal banim, kamo im banim. There'll be reconciliation. Parents and children will join together. Very nice, straightforward shot. The Malbim gives a different kind of shot. He says, the children go off the derech, and the parents are very pained. That's part of how life often works, unfortunately. And he says, in three, v'hu yashiv el kol ha'olam b'tshuva. Okay, what does it mean? He will bring the world back in tshuva, so that the children who were pushed away from the Torah of their parents, Yashiv Leiv Habanim, they will come back to the parents, Lachzor El Hadat.
on Second John, they will go back to the true religion, the Torah Tavotam, and they'll be Bali Tshuva back to where their parents wanted them. And that's why the parents will once again appreciate the children, because the children will do Tshuva and come back. Yes?
As you know, this is called the starting
of
Abdallah, but not the Ashkenazi.
Certainly not the Ashkenazi. Don't know.
It's a good reminder.
100%. Interesting question. Don't know. Homework. Why is that part of the Shvarim of the Ashkenazi Havdalah? But Rashi, in many ways, has the most interesting chat, which it's not that the children will do tshuva and return to the parents, who are frum, it's that the children will become balei tshuva before the parents. Interesting. Look at number four. What does it mean? Al yedei banim. Through the children, the parents will be brought back. Yom Lebanim, Eliyahu is going to be able to tell to the children, to show to them, Derech Ahava V'Ratzon, the way to come back. L'chu V'dibru Al Avoseichem. Now he'll say to them, go, now you've been to Osameach, or wherever you've been, go and speak to your parents. L'achoz D'Berdachi Amokam, and they can also do tshuva, and they can also be Balei Tshuva. V'chein Lebanim Al Avoseichem, V'kach Shemati Mishmoy, T'Rebbe Menachem. Nice chat there, as to whether it's the children do tshuva first, or the parents want them to, etc., etc. The Mishnah picks up on this at the end of Eduyot and says in number 5, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, very unusual Mishnah, Mekubal ani mi Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. I have a direct tradition from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is after the Churban. Sheshama mi Rabbi, v'Rabbi mi Rabbi, Halacha l'Moshe mi Sinai, all the way back to Har Sinai, She'ein Eliyahu ba l'tami u'l'tahor, l'taher, Eliyahu is not coming to tell people who think they are tahor, that they're tami, or tami that they're tahor, the Jewish that they're not Jewish, etc. L'rachek u'l'karev, or to bring yichas, people think they are Jewish, people. He's not coming to do any of that. What's he coming to do? Reb Shimon Omer LaHashrei Tamachlokas. A very famous idea that Eliyahu is coming to resolve machlokas. Look at Reb Avadi Baratzanura briefly in the bracket. Reb Shimon, according to this understanding, Avos, what does it mean, the parents? Elo HaChachamim. These are the rabbis. Ubanim and the children, Elo HaTalmidim. It's a very well-known idea that when you have a Rav-Talmud relationship, is very much like a parent-child relationship, or it should be. So they won't have machlokas anymore. And in fact, very often when the Gemara has a machlokas, and it ends teku, some of the later achronim understand, teku is Rashi Tevas, Tishbi, Yitarets, Kushus, Va'abayas, that the Tishbi, Eliyahu Tishbi, will come and resolve all of these machlokas. So what's the difference between Eliyahu HaTishbi and Eliyahu HaNavi? We say, no, back to Havdalah, right? Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. So I can't remember where I saw this now, but Eliyahu HaNavi is when Eliyahu wears his Navi hat. The Rambam, we talked about this once before, the Rambam is very, very specific that a Navi through Navua is never allowed to resolve a halachic dispute. The Rambam says in Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah, if a Navi tries to answer through Nevuah, a halachic question, they're a Navi Sheker. You can't skip the halachic process. Lo b'shamayim here. You can't say to God, if you ask Yeshaya HaNavi and say, look, I dropped my milchik spoon in my cholent pot, what should I do? If he says, hang on, I'm just going online, God's going to speak to me and give me a Nevuah, that's it. Finished. Because it's a Navi Sheker. But a Navi is also a Chacham. So Yeshaya can take off his Navi hat and put on his Chacham hat and say, okay, now I'm going to answer your Shaila through learning the Sugyas. So that's the point. Eliyahu HaTishbi is Eliyahu wearing his Chacham hat. So Tishbi, Yitaretz, Kushis, Ve'abayas. But Eliyahu HaNavi is wearing his Navi hat. Why? Sometimes in Halacha, there's an unresolvable question. My daughter asked me a Shaila last night. They gave four trampistim a lift in the back of their car to somewhere, wherever it was. None of them knew each other. None of them knew my son-in-law. And then a couple of days later, they found someone had lost some very expensive earphones in the back of the... Nobody's able to trace anyone. Nobody knows who they are. That's it. But they belong to someone very clearly. So I'm not getting into the specifics here, but sometimes the halacha says, Yehei munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. It should rest until Eliyahu comes. When Eliyahu comes, he'll tell you who it belongs to. And in fact, there are halachic issues here. Sometimes when you have something to return the property and you really know it belongs to someone, but you don't know who. So the halacha is you have to write down in the back of your chumash somewhere that you're going to keep and bequeath to your children. I found such and such. I found these headphones in the back of the car on the 5th of June. Da, 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 da. So one day when Eliyahu Navi comes, he'll say, oh, I know who these belong to. Because that's not a halachic question.
That's a mitziyut question. That's just the who do they belong to. So Eliyahu can wear his Navi hat for that. Yes?
What about Moshe and Tzokhar and Pesach Sheni? Didn't he ask a
question? Oh, good. Lo b'shamayim hi starts after Moshe dies.
Okay.
While Moshe is alive, the whole of Judaism is b'shamayim. Because everything is, that's the point. After Moshe, all the Gemara is in Smurah, etc. Yes? Yes. Oh, the question is why, sorry, don't forget the Zoomers. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is able to do, to answer questions through his own Nevuah? Because Lo B'Shamayim Hi is not relevant till afterwards. Anyway, so the last part of that mission, number five, is Chachamim Amrim, Lo L'Rachif, Lo L'Karev, Ela La'asod, Shalom Ba'olam. What is the ultimate Shalom in the world? Why is it Shalom? Yes, sir.
I'm bothered by number 3, 4, and 5. Number 3, it says, Vahu Yashiv. Doesn't a person have to do tshuva on their own? What does it mean? God's going to...
No, Eliyahu. Eliyahu is going
to...
Okay. Everyone has to do tshuva, but sometimes you need somebody to help you along the way. You know, you need someone to hold your hand and pull you into the tshuva process. Otherwise, you won't be able to do it yourself.
And number 4, Rashi, what it says, Al HaBanim. Because I assume that the Banim learn Torah, but what about Banot?
Okay, Banim means Banim or Banot. Here it doesn't mean sons and not daughters. He means the children and the parents. Because as we're about to see, that's an excellent question. As a segue, when it comes to Kibbutz Av V'Em, there is no difference between sons and daughters and fathers and mothers, in principle. We'll see that right now. Okay, why is it so important to bring Shalom?
And number 5, according to what you're saying, when he has his Tishbi hat,
right,
then he's talking halakha.
Yes.
Here the pasuk is quoting it's saying Eliyahu Navi and not Eliyahu.
Good. Okay. Good. He didn't say Navi. He doesn't say Eli. Oh, he does say Navi. You're right. Okay. Good question. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. How that works. But I want to get into Kibbutz Av V'Em. Kibbutz Av V'Em is needed to bring Shalom to the world because it is the most difficult mitzvah there is. We'll see some of those difficulties coming up. I'm sure I don't need to tell you how difficult relationships with parents can sometimes be. But have a look at number 6. Am Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Hishvar Kosev Mitzvah Kala Shebekalos U'Mitzvah Chamurus Shebechamurus. The psukim connects the most simple of simple mitzvot and the most difficult of all difficult mitzvot, which are what? Mitzvah Kala Shebekalos, the easiest of all mitzvahs, is Shluch HaKan. You want some eggs for breakfast? There's a bird, you go... That's it. A mitzvah with a wave of a hand. It's the easiest thing. Or mitzvah chamur sheba chamur is a kibud of parents. Oy. And we'll see how that works. Ve'im b'shteyim k'siv v'arachteyim. And both of them say that you will get olam haba, life in the next world. And and therefore you never know what the reward is for an easy mitzvah. That's the context here. An easy mitzvah should never be something that you degrade in any way, because it could be the reward is just as great as the hardest of all mitzvahs. So let's get into Kibbutz Av V'Em. Let's really get through these sources. There's a lot of sources on the sheet. Let's start with some hashkafot that you may or may not be aware of, which I think are very informative. Says the Chinuch, number 7. Mishar she mitzvah zo, she roi lo la adam she yakev yigmol chesed lemi she ase imo toiva. First of all, you have to know that the basic principle of Judaism is to be grateful. Hakarat hatov. Someone does something for you, you have an obligation to recognize that. Lo yinava, how can you be like a low life? Such a disgraceful and someone who does not acknowledge when people do good for you. She's on mid ra'a. This is a terrible way to be. And it's disgraceful. Whether you're talking about God or other people, you have to be grateful. Now, what are you grateful to your parents for? And by the way, everybody in the world has parents. Not everybody gets to know them. Sometimes they never met them. But everybody has to come from somewhere. Ah, you're going to tell me, what about this donor and this IVF and that? Okay, good. But everyone at the end of the day came from somewhere. So what did your parents give you? Says the Chinuch, v'sheyiten el liboy. Think for a second about this. Ki ha'av v'ha'em heim sibat heyote ba'olam. Apart from anything else, your mother and father, he says, gave you life. Without them, you just wouldn't be here at all. Therefore, that's why you owe your parents Kibbutz Av V'Em. Not just because they were great parents. Maybe they were terrible parents. Not everybody's a great parent. But every parent gave their child life itself. All of the things you can do for your parents, you need to do. They brought you into the world. Also, they changed your diapers and they sat up while you cried all night. That's not the main thing. The main thing is that they gave life.
When you get that in your head, he says, Banafsha, really, into your mind, that will lead you naturally to the Bein Adam Lamakom. He's connecting the dots here. What is the why is Kibbut Av Va'Em on the between people and God's side of the Luchot? Because really, Kibbut Av Va'Em is a mashal for what gives us life. Shehu Sibasai, third line from the bottom. He is the reason that Vasibas Kola Avasav, and he gave our parents life, meaning my parents brought me into existence. Who brought them into existence? And who brought them? And who brought them? And who brings everything into existence? Adam Arishan. God brings us into the air to breathe the air to give us what we need in life. If we're well, and even if we're not well, we're still alive. And then at the end, and above all, he made us conscious and able to recognize who we are and what life is. Because if it wasn't for the nefesh, the neshama that we have, yekasus, we'd be like a horse, caparid, or a donkey, or an ass. Meaning, really, in the morning when we say shalai asani, the first one in our minds should be shalai asani sus. Baruch Hashem, I'm not a horse. Ah, it looks like a nice, fine life. You chew grass, you run around a bit. Nah, completely oblivious to everything. I used to have goldfish. When my kids were, I'm not so into pets, but we were quite into goldfish and we did quite well. And I used to see these goldfish running around again and again and again. I says, number one, what a terrible life for a goldfish, but what an enormous brocha that the goldfish doesn't know that it's a goldfish. Can you imagine how distressing that would be for them to realize that? So Baruch Hashem, so we know that we're not a goldfish. But Yarach, but Machshavtoi, and we think in our minds, Kama v'kama roila li'zabe avodas ha'baruch. Okay, so first of all, the chinuch makes the hashkafic link that respecting parents is not because the parents specifically deserve the respect. It's because the parents did for us what brought us into the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the natural corollary of that. So that's the first thing. The second hashkafa, and I think not a lot of people realize this, but it's absolutely critical to everything we're going to say today. In Parshas Beshalach, when the Jewish people are on the way out of Egypt to Sinai, it says, 8, he took them away out from the Red Sea. They just crossed the sea. They didn't find any water. Everyone knows the story. They came to Marah. They couldn't drink the water. The water from there. What did they do? Well, what Jewish people always do. They complained. By the way, they're not criticized for this. This is a perfectly reasonable question. You just brought 3 million people out of Egypt and there's nothing to drink. What are we meant to drink here? Moshe cries out to God. God shows him a tree. By the way, this is a very important mashal for Torah. They're about to go to Sinai. The tree, the idea of the Eitz Chaim, is what gives life, what gives water. Also, when he hits the rock, say the Mephoroshim, is Chorev. So he says, well, that's where he was. That's the mountain Sinai. The first relationship they have with Sinai is that it's life-giving and it gives them water. The waters are sweet. Okay, so far, so good. And now the last 7 words are the key. Sham, samlo chok u'mishpat. That's where God gave them a chok. God gave him, gave Moshe a chok and a mishpat. V'sham nisal. And that's where he tested it. Now, what is the chok and what is the mishpat? Now, we all grow up on this idea that chukim and mishpatim, and it's a Gemara, and Rashi brings it down, means what? Chukim are things we don't understand. And mishpatim are things that we do understand. That's how everybody explains it. That's not wrong, but that's not what we're going to see here. Mechilta, number 9. Chazal say, Sham sam lechok u'mishpat, chok ze ha-shabbat. Oh, we all know the idea that they got Shabbat at Marah, but that's a chok? Really, Shabbat's something I don't understand? If you ask someone to think of the chok, they wouldn't think of Shabbat. I understand Shabbat, it makes a lot of sense. And mishpat, what is mishpat? You see where we're going here. Ze kibud av ve'em. This is kibud av ve'em. Why is Shabbat a chok and kibud av ve'em is a mishpat? So Shabbat is a chok because chok means lechakek, to engrave. It's fixed. You just need to learn the rules and just do them. I need to know this is Bishul and this is a Klirishon and this is a Klisheni and da da da. If the Rambam was teaching the halachas of Bishul today in the OU Israel Center, he would teach exactly the same halachas as he taught back in Fostat in the 12th century. You'd have to teach, you know, what is a Shabbos urn? You plug it in the wall. Okay, he'll work that out pretty quickly and he'll teach you how to make tea on Shabbos. But a mishpat is something where you have to understand the principle and then work out what the details are, but the details will change. Look here, number 10. The Maharal says, Lama nikra kibud avei mishpat? Why is respecting parents called a mishpat? We've explained this before. Ki hayidiyah v'haseichel mechayev mitzvah zot yoter mishar kol mitzvahs. For kibud avehim, you need something more than for any other mitzvah, which is yidiyah, understanding, and seichel. How many people have seichel? Not a lot of people in this world have seichel. Common sense is very uncommon. That's why it's called a mishpat, because some mitzvahs, if you just learn the rules and do them, you will get everything wrong. When it comes to kashrut, kashrut is a chok, right? I just need to learn the rules. I do this, it's bittel b'shishim. So if I drop milk in my chicken soup, so the rav says to me, if it's less than a 60th, it's okay. And I say, listen, rabbi, 60th is very old-fashioned. I'm more of a 30th kind of guy. What are you talking about? It's a chok. It's a chok. It's a rule. Just do it. I don't care who you are. It's like someone who jumps off a cliff and says, I don't believe in gravity. Okay? Gravity believes in you. You know, it's a rule. You can't evade it. A mishpat's not like that. I heard from Rav Berkowitz once in the Kollel a story of a guy many years ago, Eish HaTorah, became frum. And he's very excited. He's flaming Baal Tshuva. And of course, his parents are regular parents living in America, secular Jews. They think he's gone a bit nuts. Understandably, you know, he wears black and white. He talks to himself when he walks out of the bathroom. It's like he's not normal. Strings hanging out of his pants. It's not normal. So he's trying to work out a way to connect with his parents more, to show them the beauty of Torah. It's a true story. So he goes one day, he's in the Bet Midrash, and they teach him Kibud Avaim. He goes, oh, this, I've never heard of this. And he reads that you have to speak to your parents always in a respectful way. Of course. And he reads in a book, the most respectful way to talk to a person is in the third person. So he goes back home for spring break, whatever, for the Pesach. And he says, would mother like to sit down? Would father like a cup of tea? And the parents say to him, well, you're talking to us in this ridiculous way. What's wrong with you? And he goes back running to the Rebbe and he says, what did I do wrong? He says, what you did wrong is that you treated Kibud Avaim like a chok. This rule, that rule, this rule, this rule, and then you just did it. You can't do that. If the rabbi were to come now to teach the laws of Kibud Avaim in 2021, he'd have to completely rethink the whole mitzvah. The parents and children don't work like they used to do, even 50 years ago, even 20 years ago. But husbands and wife, it's not a chok. The Rambam's coming to teach the laws of marriage and what is a good Jewish marriage. He's not going to stand up and say, well, you have four wives and one of them is 30 and one of them is 12. And one... He's not going to say that. He has to completely rethink. Some things are a chok and some things are a mishpat. Kibud Avaim is a mishpat. You have to work out who are your parents. And obviously, you know, I'm speaking to an audience now who are more likely looking at the children, looking at the parents. But, you know, often the sandwich generation, people have children and parents to deal with. But often when I'm speaking to my students, I'm saying to them, look, you can't think about who you'd like your parents to be. You wish your mother was Rabbanit Yamim Mizrahi Shkoyach. You know, she's not. You have to treat your parents how they want to be treated, what works for them, and we'll see how that works. Okay, so we'll see. We'll put that in practice in a few minutes. But the last hashkaf before we get into the halachas is as follows. And this is remarkable. Number 11. The first half of this source is very well known. The second half is unheard of. It's a Gemara, it's a Yerushalmi in Pei at the beginning. Imasha Rabbi Tarfon Yarda L'tayel L'toch Chatzir Rabbi Shabbat. Rabbi Tarfon's mother went down for a walk on Shabbos and her shoe broke. So she's standing, this elderly lady with one foot up, one foot down. The halach Rabbi Tarfon v'aniach shtei yadov tachas parsoseah. And Rabbi Tarfon gets on his hands and knees. He doesn't want his mother to get his foot in the mud. So he puts his hands down like this so she can walk on his hands and knees. The haisam aleches aleim ad shigila misaso. Until she got back to her bed, to the couch, she walked on his hands. You heard this story before? Yes. You heard this story before, right? Pam achas chala. Then once later he got sick. The other rabbis came to wish him better. Amru lahem, and the mother said to them, "Hit palalu al Tarfon b'ni, please daven for my son Tarfon, shehu noy be covered yosel idai. He is the best son at Kibud Avaim." Amru lah, so they said to her, "Ma avilech, what does he do that's so amazing?" V'ten yizlahem uvdan, she told them the story. Can you believe it? He put his hands under my feet all the way to the bed. Amru lah, they said to her, "Listen, he's a great guy. We know that." But afilu oisik kein elef alafim, even if he did a million, literally a million times more than that, adan lechetzi kibud sha'amra Torah lohi. Even if he did a million times more than that, he's only reached half of Kibud Avaim, meaning he has to do for you what you need. And we're not trying to do him down, but at the end of the day, that's what Kibud Avaim is. You needed someone to walk on their hands to the bed. That's what he did. This is the next part of the Gemara that, as far as I'm aware, everyone I've ever taught said we heard the first half, but never the second half. Imashal Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael's mother, Ba'ava Kiblas Aloi Rabbi Tainu, she came to visit the yeshiva one day. Her son's Rabbi Yishmael, the Rosh Yeshiva. Amra Lahen, she said to the rabbis, Gi Rabbi Yishmael Beni, She'enu Noi Big Covered. I want you to criticize my son because he doesn't treat me right. That's very embarrassing. The mother of the Rosh Yeshiva comes to visit. She says, my son doesn't treat me properly. The rabbis went pale, they didn't know what to say. Amar, they said, it could be the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't do this mitzvah, the fifth of the Ten Commandments. Amar, so they asked the mother, what does he do that's so terrible? Amra, she says, listen, kadu nafik mi beis vada, when he comes back from the yeshiva every night, she's a Jewish mother, you know, my son, the Rosh Yeshiva, she feels she's got nachas for the son. I ask him every night, I want to wash his feet. Umishti mehem, and then drink the dirty feet water. V'loy shafiki, and he won't let me. Of course he won't let her. Because she's not right in the head. There's something wrong. There's something wrong there. Says the rabbis to her, to Rabbi Shmuel, Amru, they went to the Rosh Hashiva and said, Hovahu Ritzona, listen, if that's what she wants, hukvada, that's what you should do to give her kavod. She's weird. Okay, she's weird. I say sometimes to my students, if you think your parents are weird, then this Gemara is telling you that they're not as weird as Rabbi Yishmael's mother. But at the end, it's not dangerous. It's just strange. So let her do it. What's the problem? That's really what she wants. You can't upset her. These two Gemaras go side by side. It's not like she's asking him to do an Aveira or something that's going to be dangerous for her health. It's just very strange. Yes, sir?
There was the incident a few months ago when the Ethiopian Haver Knesset was sworn in and his mother was there.
Oh, yes.
And when she walked into the room, he got down on his hands and knees and he kissed her feet.
He kissed her feet?
Yes.
Interesting.
And the
amazing.
Was like Haver Knesset.
Kissing, yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Okay, and beautiful. And he said that's the way it is.
Very nice. Yeah, the Chavek Knesset kissed her feet. Did she kiss his feet? Not, but in this way, she wants to kiss it for fun. So these initial hashkafas, which is that the idea of Kibbutz Avayim is to connect us with God, number one. Number two, that it's a mishpat, never a chok. And number three, that at the end of the day, what they want is what they get. Now, we'll have to limit that. But what if they want something unreasonable? What if they want something that's upsetting? So I need to just go on for a bit because we're on source 11. We have up to source 42 to go. So let's see how we get on. Let's look quickly at the halachic structure of the mitzvah. This is very familiar to many people. Therefore, I'm going to do this quite quickly. There are two psukim dealing with respecting parents. Number 12. Kabedis avicha vesimecha. You have to give kavod. I'm not going to translate that yet. People often say respect, but I'm going to show that it's not actually, it doesn't mean respect. Lema'an yarichu yimecha, so you have a long life. Al adama asher Hashem lokecha noisin lach. That's one pasuk in the Ten Commandments. And then number three in Kedoshim is ish imoy va'aviv tiro. Each person should have yira, or this is respect, for their mother and for their father, but they still have to keep Shabbos, and we'll see that. If your parents tell you to break Shabbos, then you can't do that. Ani Hashem Elokei. Fine. We'll have to understand what is kavod, what is yirah, how does that work in halacha. But first, as I'm sure you're all aware, the order changed between the father and the mother in these two psukim. First, in the first with kavod, it was father then mother. With yirah, it was mother then father. And the Mechilta says, number 14, kol hakodim amikra kodim amaser. Generally speaking, when you have a list in the Chumash, it's in order, in pecking order. That's why, by the way, in last week's parsha, when we talked about the benot slavchad, in one place it puts them in this order, in another place it puts them in a different order, to show you that they weren't in, they were all as good as each other, to switch the order. Same thing here. That's why it says, since you put the father before the mother in one place and the mother before the father in another, is to tell you don't think that one is more important than the other. They're both as important. Similarly, sons and daughters, number 15. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha, both men and women, shavim bekavod u'moira, they have the same basic obligation to respect their parents, shel av ve'eim. Ela she ha'isha ein b'yada la'asod. The woman sometimes, and we'll translate this into the modern world in a second, the Shulchan Aruch says that the woman is sometimes not in a position
to give her parents the same kavod as when she was single. Shehi mishubedet labala, because she is now reconnected with a different family. Maybe they had to move somewhere else and she's away from her parents. She's connected with a husband. Lefikach, therefore, hi patura mikibud avim, what you can't do because of your spouse, then you're exempted from. But I didn't say while she's married. But if she ever becomes a divorcee, or nisamala, or she's widowed, God forbid, chayavis, then she goes back to the first relationship with the parents. What does this show? This shows a very important principle in Kibbutz Avaim, that the spouse comes first. And in today's world, it's usually the other way around as well. It's not just when the wife is with the husband, then the husband takes priority over the parents. What about the other way around? When the wife and the son are together, what about the son's parents? If there's a conflict between what the son's wife wants and the son's parents want, the wife comes first. The wife comes first. The family is first, and the spouse is a priority, and that's an important point as well. And finally, the advice for introductory purposes, number 16, says the Shulchan Aruch, Afilu Haya Aviv Rasha. Even if the father or the mother, whenever it says father, read mother, whenever it says son, read daughter, even if the parents are Rasha, Bal Averis, even if they're doing Averis, V'chadu Misyar Memene, it doesn't take away the obligation. The Ramah says, okay, there's a limit. If they're mamash or rosha, there aren't many rusha'im these days in this sense. There are a few, maybe. But don't be too quick to think that your parent is a rosha, I think is the message. If they do tshuva, okay. But the point it's making here is respect for parents is not dependent on how good they are as people or how good they are as parents. Okay, there is a limit. And God forbid, if somebody's being abused in whatever way, the first thing we do is take them away from the situation which is abusing them, whether it's emotionally or physically or any other way. But in principle, the parents' standard, if you like, is not for the child to judge, and their respect for their parents is irrespective of the parents' behavior. Now, let's have a look at these mitzvahs, and then we'll build up to the question that I really want to deal with as to how do we balance the children and the parents when there's a real conflict. So let's look at number 17. Eze Moira, what is respect? So the Gemara here, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yamad bimkoyme hamayuchid lo yamad sham bezoidik zkeni mim chavera. The father or mother has a special place they stand. They're a lecturer, they're a professor, they're a whatever it is. So you don't stand in their place. That's not you. That's your father's place or your mother's place. Or makam hamayuchid lo lehit palel. If your parents have a place in shul that they specifically daven, then you can't stand in their place. We'll see. The parents can always be moichel. The parents can always say, it's fine. And the Shulchan Aruch says, not only can they, but they should. We'll see later. The parents should know when to turn a blind eye and to say, I never heard that. I never saw that. Let's move on. Okay? But in principle, you can't stand or sit in their place. You can't sit in your father or mother's seat in the house if they have a special seat. You can't contradict them. You can't agree with them. Can't agree with them? What does that mean? Meaning to say that my father's right. Why is that a problem? Again, it's not chukim, it's mishpatim. Let's think about this. Can you never contradict your parents? Well, your parents want you to agree with everything. Your parents say, I think we should vote this way. And the children are meant to say, I agree. No, you want to have a discussion, which Israelis agree about who to vote for. Okay? And therefore, if the parents want the child to have a robust argument, that's fine. On the other hand, sometimes agreeing with your parents is a chutzpah. Apparently, your father's having an argument with somebody. You walk in and say, listen, my father's right, that's the end of it. Oh, shkayach, now you've walked and everything's fine. Who's the parent here? You're acting like the parent to your own parents. And that's not possible with Yira. With Kavod, by the way, that's a problem. Because sometimes there comes a point in the parent's life where they're not able to make their own decisions in their own best interests. For Kavod, which receives welfare, and then you have to somehow be a parent to your parents in Kavod, but not a parent to your parents in Yira. This is very difficult. I remember my grandfather, Alav Shalom, he died many years ago, but he was a very independent man. Even when he was old and he was blind and he had a number of strokes, he still felt that he was 23, you know, running after the Nazis in the Second World War. He always felt that. So my mother managed to get them on a list for sheltered accommodation, which they were desperately in need of. It was a long waiting list. Eventually they called and said, they called my grandfather, and they said, you're number one on the list now, you'll be able to get in. And he said, oh no, we don't need any of that, we're fine. Okay. So at least they had the seichel to call my mother and say, we just wanted to let you know we're taking your parents off the list because they don't need it. And she went,
Well, of course they need it. You know. So sometimes the parents are not able to make those decisions. That's very hard. But to balance that is the key. V'lo yikru b'shmo, you can't say your parents' name. Lo b'chayev, not when they're alive. V'lo b'moise. Ela omar, abamar, you should call them father or mother. Now, again, is that a chok? No. What if the parents say, we insist on you calling us Bob and Sheila? Hopefully the father's Bob and the mother's Sheila, but not necessarily. Okay? Oh, well, you're going to say, no, I won't call you that. You're going to disrespect your parents by respecting them. Now, obviously, you can say, I'm not comfortable with this, and I don't feel that I should call you Bob and Sheila. But at the end of the day, if your parents insist, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, it's a chok, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You're going to upset your parents by apparently trying to respect them. Hayshem aviv kashem acherim. What if your dad or mother has a name which is a name of other people? Mashan is shemam, you should give them a nickname, the other, your friend. Im hu shem shehu peli, if it's an unusual name. Let's say your father's called Colonimus, and you have a best friend called Colonimus. So every time you're out, people hear you screaming, Colonimus, Colonimus. Everything, oh, he's saying his father's name. No, so you have to give your friend a nickname. Okay? Shayna called Regilim Cross, but if it's a weird name. Aval Shem She Regilim Boy, if it's a name that everyone's used to, your friend's called David and your father's called David. Okay, Mutzali Cross, you can do that, that's fine. Shalom Befana, but not if your father's in the room. And that's one of the reasons why in the Tzavar Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, they say you should never marry a woman with the same name as your mother or a man with the same name as your father. There are maybe Kabbalistic reasons as well. One of my Rabbonim told me a very interesting story of a young man who was marrying out. And the parents tried to persuade him of everything to stop him from marrying a non-Jewish girl. They said to the Rav, is there anything you can do? The Rav sat down with him and he went through every strategy he could think of. And how can you do this? And how can you walk on the graves of your grandparents? Not interested. I love her. I'm going to marry her. So he goes, I'll say, what's her name? Rachel. So the rabbi went, oh, isn't your mother called Rachel? He goes, yes, so what? Very dangerous for your mother if you marry this girl. Broke it off. Sometimes people are superstitious on certain levels with certain things. But anyway, you shouldn't have this. By the way, I heard yesterday on the Daf Yomi Shir with Rabbi Rosner, he mentioned that Abaya was called Abaya. It's not a real name, it's a nickname. Because there's a few different reasons why that might be. One of the reasons it's brought down is one of his best friends was Rava. And Rava's father was called Nachmeni. And Abaya's real name was Nachmeni. So he wouldn't call him Nachmeni because that was his father's name. So he gave him a nickname, Abaya, from Pasuk in Hosea, Asher Becha Yivarach Yitomim, or Yunachem Yitomim, something like that. And anyway, so that's a halacha as well. Fine. Number 18. Shalom et Rebbe Eliezer. Ad heichen kibbut avayim. How far does this all go? So Amalehem, he says, listen. Again, a famous story. Tzuru'u ma'asa ovid kachavim echad la'avisheba Ashkelon. Listen to the story of this non-Jew in Ashkelon. The Dama ben Nesina Shmai, called Dama ben Nesina. Bikshem emenu chachamim avanim le'efo b'shishim riboy scha. The rabbis came to him because they wanted to buy precious gems for the Kohen Gadol's breastplate. 600,000 gold pieces. Rav Kahana Masli Shmainim riboy, 800,000 gold pieces. V'haya mafteach munuch tachas rishosef shal aviv. So the key to the safe where the jewels were was lying under the father's head. And the father was asleep. You've all heard this story, right? V'loit siru, and he wouldn't wake him up. The Shana Acheris, the next year, Nasir Kosh Baruch, sorry, God rewarded him. Shinal Deloi Paraduma Beidro, he had a Paraduma in his flock. Nichlesu Chacham Yisrael Etzlo, and the rabbis came to him, Asher, and Amalem, he said to them, listen, Yodea Ani Bechem, I know you Jewish people, She'im Ani Bevakesh Michem, Kol Mamon Sheba Oilem Atem Noitim Li. I could ask any price for the Paraduma. A Paraduma is the most precious thing. Ale Ein Ani Bevakesh Michem, Ela Ois Mamon Shev Sadati Bishvil Kot Kibbut Avah. I'm only going to ask you for the money that I lost when I wouldn't wake my father up to get a job. Okay, so good. So what do you learn from this story? You're never allowed to wake up your parents? Let's say somebody got a knock on the door. They said, you've won the lottery. You've won $5 million. We just need your parents to sign. Oh, no, I'm sorry. My father's sleeping. I'm sorry. I can't take the money. So then when your father wakes up and you say, you know, Abba, I'm such a great son. Listen to what I just did. He's going to kill you. Meaning, this is not saying that you mustn't wake your parents up. This is, and maybe this non-Jew was treating it like a chok, not a mishpat. On a certain level, it's great, but that's not the real halacha in a sense. You would never do that if that wasn't the right way to behave with your parents. Look towards the end here. Pam achas, Rav Dimi said, once it happened, hayalovish, this non-Jew was wearing his sirkin, his sirkon, he's wearing his special robe, shalzav, the Hayoshiv ben Gedoli Romi, and he was sitting on the Senate, whatever he was, with the great people of Rome. It's a non-Jewish person. And his mother came and she tore his clothes from him. The tapchaloy al Russian, she smacked him round the head. The yarkaloy befanav, she spat in his face. The loy chlima, he never said a word. By the way, why did his mother do this? So Tosfos says, she was demented. She was mentally ill. He never said anything. Now we'll see. There's a limit. What's the limit? How far do you have to go when you're suffering that kind? Okay, it wasn't the mother's fault. The mother wasn't doing it on purpose. But how far does that go? And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this story in number 19. It says, even if, look at number 19, had hechem moram, how far does respect the parents go? Haya ben lovash chamudos. And he quotes the story, even if the son is wearing his best clothes, v'yoshiv barosh hakal, sitting in front of the community, uba aviv v'imoy v'kara begadah, v'hako al roshah, v'yirag b'fanav. And it says exactly the same Gemara here. He shouldn't upset them. Ela yishdak, he has to keep quiet. V'yira min ha-melech, malchei ha-melachim, shizvav b'kach. Okay. Now, we're going to have to see quite how far this goes. This seems very extreme. Exactly how much leeway are you meant to give the parents when performing the mitzvah of yira for them? And we'll see how that works in a few minutes. I brought you a number 20. I'll just mention it now. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah brings that even though you can't mention your parents' name, you can mention it with an honorarium, Mr. So and so, or my father so and so. Somebody rings up to speak to their dad in the store. Can I speak to John? No, you can't say that. Can I speak to my dad, John? Okay, that's okay. But there are all sorts of details for that as well. Standing up for the parents. The Gemara brings down that Rav Yosef, number 21, used to stand up for his mother. He was blind. When he heard her footsteps, he said, I'm standing up for the Shechina. Again, making the link with the parents and God. And therefore, number 22, the Shulchan Aruch says, Chayev la'amoy b'fnei aviv, you have to stand up for your parents. V'im ha'av talmid b'noi, but if the parent is a talmid of the child, kol echad mehem oimed b'fnei hasheni. Then they're having this like standing up, sitting down game. I'm standing for you because you're my father. No, I'm standing for you because you're the rabbi. The Maharam of Rottenburg got a job as the Rav of the shul in which his father was a member, and he couldn't resolve this. The father insisted on standing up for the son because he was the Rav. The son insisted on standing up for the father because he was the father. In the end, he said, I'm getting a different job. I can't do this. This is driving me crazy because I can't let my father stand up for me in this way. Again, standing up for parents. It has to be natural. You don't just stand to attention and salute when they walk in the room. It's weird. It's strange. It has to look normal. It has to feel, you know, standing up. And otherwise your parents are going to say, what's wrong? Why are you standing up? Just standing up to respect you. You know? It has to feel right. You know, parents walk in, you don't just sit down. Yes. Oh, we'll see that. Yes. If we don't get there, that's source 43. So, yes, it does, but parents take priority. Okay. Yes, it does. Okay, so that's Yira. Yira means respect. Not making out that you're on the same level, not calling by their name, standing their place, etc. What is kavod? Number 23. Ezel kavod. Now, we often translate kavod as respect, but that's not true. Kaved in Hebrew means heavy. It means your parents are a burden. What does that mean? Machilo, you have to make sure they have what to eat. Umashkeu, and what to drink. Malbish, they have clothes to wear. Umachase, and they have sheets and blankets and all that. Machnis, you have to bring them into the house when they can't walk properly. Umoitsi, and you have to take them out to the doctors when they need to go. Okay, fine. I'll do what I have to do. But here's the kicker. V'yitnen aloy b'seiv panim yafas, and you have to be smiling as you do it. That's the hard part. Well, people do what they do. They schlep, they do this, that. But to be smiling and to be happy, because, you know, parents are often unreasonable. That's the way that children often feel. Maybe they're not. Maybe the children are unreasonable. But people often don't think, and therefore the idea of giving parents kavod at the same time as always giving them with a smile, that's the hard part. And number 24, the Shulchan Aruch actually says that if it gets to the point, look at 24, very interesting issue about a carer. Misha nitrifa das aviv or imoy. If the parents' mind has loyaleinu gone so much that the parents are completely out of it, the child should try and deal with them as according to the amount that they can. Try to have, you know, pity on them and understand how that works. But there will come a point, says the Shulchan Aruch, where you just can't take this anymore. You just can't deal with this the way that the parents are. Because they're just too, they have too much dementia in that sense. They can allow the parents to be looked after by someone else. And they can hire a carer. I mean, this is nothing new. The idea that sometimes the best way the child can look after the parents is by hiring somebody else to do what the child just isn't able to do, for either physically able or mentally able or psychologically able, that's perfectly legitimate as well. They have to do what they can. And even after the parent dies, number 25, the Shulchan Aruch says that the mitzvah of Yira continues. Obviously, covered is not possible, but Yira continues. And even after the parents died, naming children after them, etc., davening, saying Kaddish, etc. Now, here's the main question. We've learned all these nice ideas, very important ideas, but what's when there's a clash? What when the parent says to the child, I want you to be this? And the child says, well, I'm not that. That's not who I am. Example, the parents are very yeshivish. The child is very not. And the parents say, I want you to dress like a Beis Yaakov girl. And they say, I'm not a Beis Yaakov girl. And I don't want to be a Beis Yaakov girl. But we want you to be. And we feel very upset when you don't. To what extent does the child say, okay, you know something, you're my parents. I'll put on a this and I'll put on a that. But to what point does the child say, I'm sorry, that's not who I am. I want you to marry this woman, but I don't want to marry this woman. Yes, but I mean, it's less so these days. But, you know, back in the day when arranged marriages were the really arranged marriages. This is your wife, you'll be marrying her next week. But I don't want to. How does that work? So let's have a look at the question. The Chazon Ish raises the question number 26. The Ritzayin is okay, but we know, we've just seen. What they want is how you do the mitzvah. We saw from Rabbi Yishmael's mother and the dirty feet water. For im ha'av roitzeh b'takanas b'noi. Let's say the father wants certain behavior from the son. The father's upset that the son is about to marry a woman that the parents don't like. Why is it okay for the son to marry the woman he wants to marry? He doesn't even ask whether that's a question. The son can marry, or the daughter can marry, whoever they want to marry. We'll see whether there's any limitations there. The parents don't like them. The son can marry them anyway. He says, why is that allowed? It is allowed, but why? Deinu bichlal moira, why is that not included in the mitzvah not to disrespect your parents? Lama davar zeh kal, says the Chazon Ish, why is this any less problematic misoseh dvara, from disagreeing with them? You can't contradict your parents in a rude way. But what's more important, contradicting them once or marrying this woman that every night they cry themselves to sleep, they can't stand the fact you married this person? How can it be okay to do one but not okay to do the other? When the one that you are allowed to do is so much more serious than the one apparently which is. So the answer is as follows. The answer is made up from an analysis of an interesting question. Parents, let's say, need to go to a residential retirement home, care home, shelter, whatever, sheltered accommodation. And it's $5,000 a week. Can be. And the child says, well, that's a lot of money. But the child says, but it's okay because my parents are millionaires. So they've got the money. We'll give them their bank account. And the parents say, no, no, no. We don't want to take away your mitzvah. We're giving all our money away tomorrow to found a new yeshiva in Israel. And we're going to be penniless. And you can support us. Who wins that? And the child says, that's not right. If you've got millions, you pay for your own sheltered accommodation. So the Gemara wants to know who wins that based in case. Number 27. Iboy lehu. They ask the following question. Michel me. Whose money is used? Rav Yehuda Amar, Rav Yehuda says, Michel Ben, huh? Child has the mitzvah, the child pays. Rav Nosson Bar Oishi Amar Michel Av. No, the parents pay. If the parents have money, the parents pay. So what's the halacha? Ole Rabban Rav Yirmiya. So the rabbis taught in front of Rav Yirmiya. The Amrila Lebreda Rav Yirmiya. Maybe it was the son of Rav Yirmiya, doesn't matter. Commander Amar Michel Av. Oh, it's the final halacha, and we'll see this is the psak. The parents have to pay. If the parents have money, the parents have to pay. So Meister, the Gemara asks a problem. Ne'emar, it says, Kabeid et avicha ve et imecha. You have to give kavod to your parents. For Ne'emar, and it says, Kabeid et Hashem mihonecha. There's a connection between these two. You have to honor Hashem with your money. Malahen chisaron kis. How do you honor Hashem with your money? You give away your money. Afkan, surely with parents also. Bechisaron kis. You have to give away your money. So how can it be that you use their money? Aren't you meant to use your money? The Iyamad Mishal Av, and if you say the parents' money pays the accommodation costs, my nafka le mine, what are you giving if you're not giving the money? And the Gemara answers, Lebitl Malacha. You're giving your time. Your time you have to put in. Loss of potential earnings. And I have to take 3 days off work. But if I have to lose my job, then that's different. If the parents have money. If the parents have money, says the Gemara, the parents pay. And what does the child do? The child puts in the time and effort, and the parents put in the money. And that's the halacha number 28. Ezel covered, says the Rambam, what does it mean to support your parents? Machilu mashkiu malbishu machaseh mi shel ha'av. With the parents' money. Now, here's the key. Here's the most important source on the sheet. That's fine when it comes to the mitzvah of kavod. I have to support my parents and pay for their living accommodation with their money. But whose money do I use for the mitzvah of yira? Meaning, if my parents demand respect, not support, is it with, quotes and quotes, their money? Or it with, quotes and quotes, my money? We'll see what that means now, and this is the key. Number 29. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Zeh shemachilu mashkeu mishal avei. You use your parents' money to support them. Im yeshla, that's if they have money. Im ein la'av, but of course, if your parents have no money, the yeshla ben, and the child has money, kaifen oisa, then we force the child. They can take the child to Beis Din, v'zan aviv kifi mashu yochol, and they must use their money if they can. They can't just abandon the parents. But if the parents have money, the parents' money is what's used. So, then the Shulchan Aruch asks the following question. Ad heichen kibud aveim, how far does it go? Afilu natlu kis shel zahuvim, even if your parents try and grab your wallet, full of money, shaloi. V'hishlichu b'fanav liyam. All these sources are full of very strangely behaving parents. Your parents want to steal your money. Your parents are having a midlife crisis or a late life crisis, and they want to steal your car and go, driving on and write your car off or whatever it is. Joyriding. Lo yachlimo, says the Shulchan Aruch, you mustn't say anything. Lo yitzar b'fnehem, you mustn't get upset. Let them steal your money. You can't get angry with them. Just accept it. Be quiet. This is exactly what kibud aveim is. And at that point, the remark comes in and says, no, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Says Ramah, yesh omrim, there are those that say, and by the way, I checked this in case there are any Sephardi Ashkenazi questions going on here. The Sephardi poskim go like the Ramah. Rav Avadya Yosef goes like the Ramah here, not like the Machaber, we'll see. Yesh omrim de im roitzel lizrok ma'ot shel ben liyam. If your parents want to throw your money into the sea, yochalim oni, you can stop them, even if it's going to upset them. Da ha'enu chayiv l'chabdo rak mishal av, because we know that your obligation for support, financial support for the accommodation, is with their money. Avalo mishal ben, not with your money. And here's the key, it's why it's underlined. The ein chiluk mi ben l'kvoidoi o l'tzaroi. And says the Ramah, there is no difference between the mitzvah of kavod and the mitzvah of yira. Just like kavod is with their money, so yira is with, quotes and quotes, their money. We're going to give 6 or 7 examples. If my parents are going to take something major away from me because of the respect that they demand from me, that they're not allowed to do. So if the parents want to steal your money, you can stop them. Dafka kaidim shizarkam, but that's of course before they threw it in the sea. Da'ef shemal demamaneya v'loyavid, you can stop it from happening. Aval im kfar zarku, if they've already thrown your money into the sea, asal achlima, you can't get upset with your parents. What are you going to do now? What can you do? Aval yochel etzvah ledina, you can take them to Beis Din. You can take your parents to Beis Din. I'm sure it's not very pretty, but it's never very pretty when you take anyone to Beis Din. V'dafka im roitzil izra kiso liyam, and it's only if they want to throw your money in the sea. The isbei chisron kis, that you're going to lose out. But if they want to spend their inheritance, your inheritance rather, you know what they call ski holidays, spending the kids' inheritance. So that's it. Your parents have got millions, but they're having cruises all around the world between their 50s and their 80s, and you're watching the inheritance go down, 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 down. Okay, that's their money. They can do what they like. And then there's nothing you can say. Of course not, God forbid. But if they're stealing your money, then that you're allowed to stop them. Now, how does that translate into real cases? It means the following, and here is the very delicate line, which is why you need seichel, like the Ramaral says. When the child is faced with a choice between respecting the parent and giving up something significant in their own life, not just their money, but something to some people more important than their money, then they can say, I'm sorry, I don't have to respect you with quotes and quotes my money. I don't have to marry the girl that you want me to marry. Because giving up the woman I want to marry is like you asking me to throw more away than just my money. It's throwing away my happiness. We'll see that explicitly. But if the parents are just, being unreasonable, your mother makes you a purple and pink jumper,
sweater, sorry, I'm being English for a second, and you hate it. I said, this is an example, and your mother comes around, oh, why don't you wear that nice pink sweater I made you? So wear the sweater, what difference does it make? Your mother likes it, she made it, you hate it for 2 days or for half an hour, whatever it is, you wear the sweater. It doesn't change your life. So that you have to do. Look at some examples. Look at number 30. Look at number 30 for a second. This is a truva of the Maharik, Rav Yosef Kalon, in France in the 15th century. Asher Nistapakta, he's answering a question here. You asked a question here. Im yesh koch b'yad ha'av limchod b'yad b'no, can the father stop the son from marrying? Lisa isha asher yechbots b'haben, to marry the woman he loves. Interesting question. The thianiyas daita, here's the answer. There is she im hi isha hogenes lo, if she's a wife which is a good wife, meaning there's no objective reason to the parents objecting. Obviously, if the, God forbid, if someone wants to marry a non-Jew, the parents say, yeah, we don't want you to do that. Of course, they're right, and it would be disrespecting. You know, the woman meets some guy on the internet on death row in Texas, and she says, but he's really lovely. He's been misunderstood all his life, and he didn't do it. And then obviously, you know, there the parents can say, this is crazy. But this is a woman. There's nothing wrong with a woman. The parents just don't like her. She'ein koch b'yad ha'av. I says, no, it doesn't matter, because the father has no power limchod b'yad ha'ben, to stop the son. I'll tell you why, he says. Chada. First, da'afilu le'in your mom, and even when it comes to stealing, to paying money, rather, not stealing money, oydele l'rabban l'yirmiyah, commander amal shal'av. When it comes to your parents' accommodation costs, everybody agrees it's with their money. V'chein pasku kol poiski halachas asher ra'isi. That's how everybody paskens. Kol shekein, even more so here, shehudava hashayich b'tsara digufay. This goes to your happiness. You're going to be deeply unhappy. L'haniach isha asher chafetz ba, to leave the woman you love, v'itzdarg lekachat isha acheres, and to marry another woman asher lo hayti asher beinav, who you don't want to marry. No. Kol kach. You don't want to marry that much? You can't do that. The parents can't make you marry anyone, as I said, in case you thought this was an Ashkenazi-Sephardi split, it's not. Rav Avadia says that the child never has to marry a person if the parents just don't like them or don't want them to marry them, if the person is suitable. Of course, the parents don't have to pay for the wedding. Parents have no obligation to pay tens of thousands of dollars for a chasna, so the parents can say, well, if you want to marry her, then you raise the money yourself. Okay, that's possible, but they don't have to marry the people that the parents want them to, and that's what the Ramah Paskas in 31 the same. What about a breaking Torah? Number 32. Amalai aviv la'avor el divrei Torah. The parents ask the child to break a Torah mitzvah. Turn the lights on Shabbos. Bei mitzvahs asay, a positive mitzvah, bei mitzvahs lois asay, or even a negative mitzvah, either way. Afilu mitzvah shal divrei, even a rabbanon. The parents say, pick up that pen on Shabbos, put that pen somewhere else. Well, truth is, in Hilchas Muksa, you may be allowed to pick up the pen and put it somewhere else. I'm not getting into it now. But let's say you're not. Lo yishmal. Why? Because the parents can't ask you to give up ya'olam haba. That's something which is not their money, quote unquote, it's yours. Yes, even for a drabbanon. Kibud avaim does not require you to break any mitzvah, even a drabbanon. Now, obviously you have to try, where possible, to be lenient, and if there's an opinion, and obviously if you're a big holy shmoly, and you don't eat under this heksha, you don't eat under that heksha, and it's all chumras, and you're driving your parents quite crazy, I can't eat here, and I can't eat there, and I can't... So that's completely unacceptable. But where it's bottom line halacha, there's meaning there's no heta, there's no kula, there's no leniency, this is basically what it is, so that you can't break. One of the problems often with children is they keep chumras at the expense of the parents. And that's not acceptable under any circumstances. And that's not for now. Similarly, number 33. Ha'av shit siva esbenay shalai yidaber imploini. The parents say to the child, we don't want you to talk to this person. We don't talk to Uncle Harry. Why don't we talk to Uncle Harry? You don't know what Uncle Harry did to your grandfather in 1955. We don't talk to Uncle Harry? And all his children and all his grandchildren, no, we don't talk to them. The parent says, don't forgive them. And the child says, enough is enough. We want to try and make shalom here. So the child, ein lo lachush litzvah, so you don't have to listen to the parent. Because obviously you can't run up to Uncle Harry and say, I love you, Uncle Harry, in front of your father who doesn't like Uncle Harry. I mean, I don't know about you, but I remember lots of faribbles and this and that. All the grandparents and this one spoke to that one and that one didn't speak to this one and all that. Yeah. Now nobody speaks to anybody because they're all gone from the world. Okay? But, so there's no machlokas anymore.
What happens if he says you can't send a message, a WhatsApp?
No, if it's what we want to make solemn, you can do that. Now, look here, in the last section, just go over the page briefly. Let's look at this last question. You can look at the other relatives on your own. So too for learning, number 35. Talmid shiroyse lelechet lamakam acher. If a child wants to go to learn in a certain place. Shehubateach shira simon brocha lebetalmode. He's very convinced he will learn much better. He will get a lot of brocha from learning there. Lifnei harav shesham, it's a special program, special yeshiva, special seminary. The aviv moicheba, and the parents say no. Why? If you should doig. They're not anti-learning, they're just scared. They're scared because they think it's dangerous. There are Arabs there. There are whatever the people. We don't want you to go to Israel for a year. Go and learn in Brooklyn. It's the same Torah. No, Mum, it's not the same Torah. To learn in Yerushalayim, to learn in Brooklyn. It's a no, but we're scared. He doesn't have to listen to the parents. Because again, the parents can't take away from you something as fundamental as this is my building my entire life, this learning. Now, of course, again, the parents don't have to pay. The parents have absolutely no obligation to pay 1 cent of tuition fee for yeshiva on higher education. You're way beyond the halachic obligation. Okay, but they don't have the ability to stop you doing that. Many years ago, we used to get a lot of shilas. My parents have allowed me to come to Israel, but they won't let me take the bus. Am I allowed to take the bus? My parents say I have to take cabs. Remember during the Intifada, it was not unreasonable for the parents to, or at least the parents didn't think it was unreasonable. You're probably more and more danger in the back of a cab with a lot of people. But so the first question is, well, did your parents give you money to take the cabs, or are they expecting you to pay for the cabs out of your own money? You're going to have no money left, etc. It's all part of the shaila. At the point at which the parent is making it impossible for the child to have a meaningful experience because of this demand, then there may be an issue that the parents, they don't need to listen to the parents. And the last source, again, every one of these sources is a shia. Please don't go away and think that we've learned kibbut av v'eim. We haven't, but we've looked at the Rosh Yeprochi, and let's finish with this, number 36. Asr la adam la hachbid oila al benoy. A parent is not allowed to be too strict on the child. Or la dakdeg bikfoido imahem. They can't be too insistent on their covered. Shaloi vim lidei mikshol, otherwise the children will rebel. Eliyim chol v'yalim einav mehem. You have to forgive and you have to turn a blind eye, says the Shulchan Aruch. She'av shemochal akfoido kfoido mochal. There are three levels to this. A king is never allowed to be mochal on his covered. That was a problem with Shaul. A Rav is allowed to, but discouraged from being mochal on his covered, because the Rav's covered is also covered HaTorah. But the parent is allowed and strongly encouraged to turn a blind eye. I never heard that. I never saw that. And to be a chacham, as to when they say that, they obviously have an obligation to bring up the child best they can. But being too strict as a parent is not usually a successful strategy. Even back in the 1500s, that was the case, and even before that. Okay, so we've seen some of the ways to bring shalom between parents and children. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zoche to good relationships with all our relatives, even great Uncle Harry or whatever he is. And next week we'll get into issues of Tisha B'Av, Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you.